Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burnt with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. Verse number 1. After these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. This heavenly messenger, coming in the glory and power of the Almighty, spreads the light over the earth. Let us read the passage from Isaiah the prophet, from the verse number 18 in the chapter number 8, to the verse number 7 in the chapter number 9. Verse number 18. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwells in Mount Zion. Verse number 19. And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living, to the dead? Verse number 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Verse number 21. And they shall pass through it, badly distressed and hungry. And it shall come to pass, that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their God, and look upward. Verse number 22. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. And now from the book of Isaiah again, chapter number 9, verse numbers from 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In the Gospel according to Matthew, from the verse number 16 in the chapter number 3 to the verse number 17, in the chapter number 4, is another passage which refers to Isaiah and applies it to our Savior's testimony. After his glorious baptism, in the chapter number 3, verse numbers 16 and 17, and his victorious example in testing in the wilderness, in the chapter number 4, verse numbers 1 through 10, the angels ministering to him, in the chapter number 4, verse number 11, our blessed Lord dwelled in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali to fulfill the old prophecy of Isaiah in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 4, verse numbers 12 through 14. In the verse number 17, it is the time our Lord Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Without the genuine faith in the Almighty God, our Creator, the earth is in thick darkness. Our Lord's Gospel spreads His light of truth, dispelling the darkness of sin and ignorance, revealing the only real Savior and His marvelous salvation. Verses number 2 and number 3. The strong messenger cried mightily with a great voice, saying, "Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." In the verse number 2 is the proclamation of the just judgment, and in the verse number 3 are the clear indications preceding and demanding our God's final judgment. Our Lord is revealing to us the signs of His judgment in the sins of the world. He guides us to keep us from the deception of the devil and from the pollution of the world. Babylon is fallen before her complete destruction. Babylon's sinful, Christless existence is a proof of her fallen state. We are instructed in the first epistle of John, chapter number 4, verse numbers 1 through 3, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye God's Spirit. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." We test the spirits by our reliance on the gospel when we live in its light. Babylon is fallen since her conception. Sin is a fallen condition, position, and direction. Fallen means dead, dead in trespasses. The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse number 1. Our Lord Jesus says in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 9, verse number 39, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 12, verse numbers 31 and 32, we read, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We must be in prayers to our Father continually for our discernment, opinions, intentions and decisions, that we always harmonized with our Lord's Spirit and Word. So our Master is above all worldliness in our heart and life. Thus we are lifted by Him above condemnation of sin and death into new life in His grace. That way we are united to Him, free in Him. When we are in Christ, when His Spirit rules in our heart and mind, we have cast out the prince of the world. We have judged and condemned the evil one with all his evil deeds. We are given the ability to see through his disguise and behind his mask. And we have power to resist the beast in our daily walk, even if we are led through persecution and martyrdom. This strong heavenly messenger represents the message of the everlasting gospel of salvation in the Son of God. This gospel was testified by our Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter number 3, verse number 15. I will put enmity between thee, Satan, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Victory of our Redeemer was foretold so long ago. In the Epistle to the Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 8, I find these words. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. Our Savior is one for all saved. Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 23, verse number 35. Christ's Spirit preached through all faithful prophets, foretelling the victory of the suffering Redeemer and the defeat of the raging enemy. Babylon is fallen. It is the habitation of devils. Our God's people are only pilgrims and passengers through this world. Our homeland is with our Father and Savior. Babylon the fallen is a prison of wicked spirits. The liberty to which Satan attracts man is a snare no man knows how to escape from. In vain they boast to us, we were once with them there. Our King, our Lord, is our victory, our liberty, and our everlasting triumph. The nations are intoxicated with corruption and envy. The kings of the earth are in fornication. Our King of Kings is holy and pure, and his people he delivered from sin bondage and separated for godly service to our blessed Lord. He has revealed to us that their wealth is only poverty. Verse number 4. John hears another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Abel the martyr testified, Enoch the seventh man prophesied, the law demanded, and the holy prophets preached separation of righteousness from wickedness. The gospel books and the epistles continued the same message. The book of the Revelation is finalizing this call. This call comes to us from heaven, from the dwelling place of our King and of all his faithful and victorious already with him in glory. We listen to this call because we know that we are in the flesh and blood, which we know is not supporting our fidelity to our Lord and cannot give new life. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 17, and the Gospel according to John chapter number 1, verse number 13. Flesh and blood cannot support our Lord's call, the Epistle to the Galatians, chapter number 1, verse number 16. We are admonished in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse numbers 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us be watchful, as we are commanded in this revelation, first two chapters. Verse number 5. Babylon's sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter number 14, verse numbers 12 through 15, we see the fall of self-exaltation. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Another rage of godlessness reaching up to, and indeed against, heaven is revealed to us in the second epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verse numbers 3 and 4. That man of sin, the son of perdition, will be revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. But he is just a sinner. When the big I, pride, invades the mind and heart of a sin slave, if the circumstances appear right for his ambition, he will do all in his power to imitate the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns as much as he can. Unimaginable oppression and cruelty is manifested, clearly indicating the dragon's spirit rage that motivates, inspires, and empowers his victims. Our God never forgets iniquity. He condemns and judges every sin and transgression. All these manners of the dragon are revealed to us in the first part of this chapter 18, that we believe in our Almighty God, that we know and see our enemy is defeated, and Babylon the Great is fallen, and altogether not great at all. She is a dead heap of dust and ashes. Our adversary, arch foe, and the master deceiver lusts to confuse our mind, that we accept false belief of tolerating some minor sins and compromise our Lord's teaching. Let us consider, understand, and obey our God's word. How many sins and how great our ancestors committed in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, and what are the consequences of their trespass? Let us carefully study the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse numbers 25 through 32. The Epistle to the Colossians, chapter number 3, verse numbers 5 through 11. And the Revelation, chapter number 21, verse number 27. There shall in no wise enter into the New Jerusalem anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sincere godliness is growing in faith and knowledge of our God Son, our only Master, growing in understanding, trusting and heartily obeying our Lord's word are indications of our record in the Book of Life. Our God never forgets any sin cherished, yet He is promised to remember no more the sins repented of was announced in more places and confirmed in the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter number 8, verse numbers 1 and 2. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. The Epistle to the Hebrews chapter number 8, verse numbers 11 and 12. They all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Our Father's promises are true and wonderful. His grace in Christ is all sufficient. All that wealth is for His obedient children, but negligent and rebellious, unregenerate men are condemned. Verses number 6 and number 7. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. We must reward Babylon. How does Babylon reward us and for what? Our Lord told us in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 28, verse numbers 19 and 20, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. What has been Babylon's reward to the gospel messengers? One of many answers is in the book of the prophet Amos chapter number 2 verse number 12. Ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets saying, Prophesy not. In the book of Jeremiah we see so much of persecution, torture and murderous attempts. The Acts of the Apostles and the recent history tell us Babylon hates God. Present laws and developments in many countries evidence Babylon's ability to change her mask and her inability of changing her nature. Her dragon, beast, and kings, like a pendulum, swing from persecution to enticement or hang in an attitude of ignoring our testimonies, thus manifesting ears deaf to the truth and eyes blind for the light of salvation. Just the presence of our Lord Jesus is unbearable to the dragon, as we see in the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 5, verse numbers 1 through 8. They came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. As our Lord came out of the ship, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, always night and day. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, crying with a loud voice. The man said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God the Highest? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For Jesus said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. as long as any of our Lord's genuine disciples live His gospel and walk in the light of our Father's word, the evil spirits are tormented. The dragon is often furious, and Babylon reacts with all of her power and all her devices against salvation in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. The more we ignore her enticements, the more we offend her vanity with our modesty, the more we separate from the world and unite with our Lord, the more our enemy is tormented, seeing that her lies are defeated by the gospel truth. This is our vengeance. That is our judgment proclaimed over Babylon and the dragon. This is our way of following our Lord Jesus Christ. In my very limited experience, the torment of Babylon was clearly evident. First 28 to 29 years of my life, I lived in a country ruled by dictatorship. Of the total population, about 20 million, only 1 to 3 witnesses were found annually to confront the governing authorities with Christian convictions strong enough to boldly face long years of imprisonment. Among so many complacent nominal believers and unbelieving citizens, these Christians were a tiny minority of 1 per 6 million. But the government and their laws considered us a very grave danger to their godless regime. This is a pale reminder of the King Nebuchadnezzar's rage in the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter number 3. The king ordered 7 times more heat in the furnace just to his sevenfold defeat. Babylon boasts of being the queen and no widow, and that she shall see no sorrow. This boastful attitude is just one more sign of her fallen state and uncompromising judgment of God. Let us remember the messenger in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3, verse numbers 15 through 17. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. The addressee of this message is named the angel of the church. We are in need of prayers to our Father to keep us from the boastful Babylonism, and to deliver us from lukewarm state. Verse number 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burnt with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. There is some similarity in the words of the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter number 5, verse numbers 2 and 3. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We are instructed in the word to be watchful, and the same warning is repeated to the churches in the chapter number 3. Prayerful watching is life of a spiritual man. We need our Lord's guidance and protection to keep us from trusting worldly wisdom. Our Lord told us in the Gospel according to Luke chapter number 12, verse numbers 35 through 37, Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord shall find watching when he comes. carnal man trusts in the worldly riches, calamities are surprising to him. Babylon is not foreseeing her fall, because she is fallen in her very being. For many decades, our father Noah was building the big ark, the ship. For the faithless and godless Babylon, the flood was an unexpected judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah did not expect their destruction. It came at once. Some great world powers, empires, and kingdoms faced their sudden calamity. Others watched with their own eyes, but were totally unable to stop their deterioration, because the time of their fall was appointed by our Almighty God. In the first part of this verse, number 8, is the list of 4 plagues foretold against Babylon. Death is the first listed. Babylon is dead in her trespasses, and death of the dead in this verse appears to indicate death of the body, physical death. From this point to the end of the verse number 22, the material, economic, and social values are listed as Babylon's wealth. Verses number 9 and number 10. And the kings of the earth, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her, when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come." These earthly kings are corrupted. They have no hope of life everlasting. They know not the beauty of our King's holiness. They know nothing of true delight in fidelity, loyalty, true love and adoration. They live deliciously as pigs devour their despicable spoiled food. Because fornication leaves its victims with emptiness in heart, Satan filled them with his lie. Next time you'll be happy. Many cities, kingdoms, and empires under the Babylon umbrella experienced the horror of their destruction in the past. The final judgment is the most terrifying, and none of them can escape. The only possible escape is proclaimed still today in the gospel. That gospel is ignored, or perverted, or persecuted by these kings. They won't believe it until it is too late. They fornicate with Babylon. They corrupt and exploit the masses. But now, they stand afar off for fear of her torment. They needed Babylon only to take advantage of her. But now they make no effort to try to save her. All the values and relationships in and with Babylon are false and perverted. They say that Babylon's judgment suddenly came upon her. They knew, or at least perceived, that Babylon and all they in fornication with her deserve our God's just judgment. Our loving Master and King gave us his word, revealing the smoke of Babylon's destruction before it came upon us, that we would heed his call, seek and find his deliverance, and receive his grace unto salvation. We trust in him to keep us safe. Woe to all who despise and reject our God's grace. They cannot escape the awful consequences of Babylon's wickedness. Blessed are all who recognize, seek, and embrace the grace of our Creator offered in Christ to the humanity.